What do we focus on in order to not be familiar? This actually goes back down to what we've been talking about. Familiarity ultimately occurs when there's a consciousness of self. A lack of familiarity ultimately occurs when there's not a consciousness of self, but a consciousness of God. If I have a consciousness of God, I will have things like gratitude. I will have those things that you guys are all bringing up, and they're all very good points. I will get that brokenness. I will have that realization of what He has done for me. But that comes through God consciousness. I can hear, yes, but I can also hear in a consciousness of self versus in a consciousness of God. And there are many people who do that. Familiarity always occurs after there is a consciousness of self. It doesn't mean that it's a cause and effect relationship necessarily, but a prerequisite for familiarity is a consciousness of self. If I live in God consciousness, it's really not possible to become familiar. How does God become familiar with Himself? Because the only way that I can live in God consciousness is if I am receiving from the Holy Spirit, giving to my spirit, and going back to Him. So how does God become familiar with Himself? He doesn't. When I live in a consciousness of self, I'm not fellowshipping with God in the spirit. I'm living in the soul. And the soul is very capable of becoming very familiar. This is one possible definition for a soulish relationship. A relationship where two people, or at least one person towards the other, is conscious of self towards the other person. That's a soulish relationship. And it can manifest in numerous different ways. But that consciousness of self is fundamentally where I can go wrong. No matter what it is, whether it's, let's say, it's something as subtle as familiarity or something as brazen as murder or fornication, always there's a consciousness of self that'll take me there. Why? Because it's iniquity. So familiarity is simply another expression of iniquity. Unbelief is simply another expression of iniquity. Fornication is simply another expression of iniquity. All of these things, any kind of lack of faith or unbelief, is an expression of iniquity. It really boils down to some very simple things. So this is one of the things I love about the Word of God and about the Gospel, is that it's all really very simple. There's nothing vague, nothing ambiguous, very simple, very clear. The trouble is when my flesh tries to get in the way and says, I don't like it this way. I don't want it this way. And then things start to get a little bit more difficult. The cross doesn't hurt until I kick against it. Right? What did God say to Paul in, I think, Acts chapter 9? Is it hard to kick against the pricks? Right? The pricks don't hurt until I kick against them. Right? But if I don't kick against them, they don't hurt. A cross is like that too. The cross is an extraordinarily pleasant experience until I fight it. And the moment I start to fight the cross becomes a difficult experience. But if I embrace the cross, it's a very pleasant experience. This is that peace that passes understanding, that's the cross. That doesn't mean that a person who's going through a difficult thing and maybe gets hurt doesn't have a cross in their life. That's not the same thing. They're not equivalent. I get hurt as a believer because I'm a human being. Because I love someone. Jesus wept before Jerusalem. You think he was feeling good about it? Jesus wept with compassion and empathy at Lazarus' grave. Was he feeling good about things? No. Getting hurt is not the same as a lack of cross. The reason for getting hurt may distinguish whether I have a lack of cross. Love can get hurt. Okay? Love can get hurt. If a person is too afraid of getting hurt, such that they don't love, then they won't love. But if I'm going to love somebody, I'm going to take the risk of getting hurt. God certainly did. How good do you think God feels about it that so many people are going into hell after He sent His Son to die? You don't feel good about that. Now, that is a difficult thing for Him. How do I know that? That's why He wept before Jerusalem. That's why He gets angry and the tribulation comes. One of the things about hurt, now people have to be careful not to use this as an excuse for their flesh, but one of the things about hurt is it will result in anger. That's where righteous indignation can come from. Or, if I do turn to my flesh in my hurt, then my anger is no longer righteous, but a reaction, a negative reaction. So I have to be very careful. I don't want to respond in my flesh, but that doesn't mean I can't be hurt. Elijah was hurt. Many, many people were hurt. Jeremiah was profoundly hurt. That's why they called him the weeping prophet. He was profoundly hurt. Was his hurt sin? No, certainly not. But he was hurt. Familiarity comes as a result of a consciousness of self. Why? Because then it's all about me anyway. And if it's not just so to me, then I become familiar with it. It's no longer that special. It's no longer that precious. It's just what it is. And I will look at it frequently in a little bit of puzzlement. And I'll wonder, you know, I know it shouldn't be this way, but, you know, I just don't have it so much anymore. It's no longer that special anymore. And I know maybe I'm not, you know, I know that's not right in me. But if I'm honest, at least in my own heart, I'll say, you know, it's not all that. Welcome to familiarity. Why do I go there? Well, look at the orientation. It's not what it used to be. What do you mean? It doesn't produce a feeling in me anymore. It doesn't entertain or excite me anymore. And very frequently that familiarity comes when there's this consciousness of self oriented toward my emotions, you know, my feelings about things. If I am oriented to God and I live in God's God consciousness, then those kind of thoughts don't enter. Then things are what they are, and what they are is it's the Word of God. And it's not about how do I feel about the Word of God. That's kind of a strange like notion anyway. How do I feel about the Word of God? Huh? What's there to feel or not feel? It's the Word of God. It's like saying, how do I feel about the fact that this is a table? Well, I feel very excited about it. Or, you know, I was excited about it at first, and now it's kind of like, well, it's a table. But do you understand what I'm saying? This is a common experience with believers, particularly young believers who are growing. It's a common experience. And it is an element of growth. Where I have to be careful that in that element of growth, where, okay, now I am accustomed to certain things being so. For example, I get into a church that really preaches the Word of God, where it's rich. And now I am accustomed to the Word of God being preached and the Word of God being rich. And maybe if I came from another church, or maybe I wasn't saved even before, but maybe I came from another church and it wasn't preached well then. And now I've had it for a while where it is been preached well. Or maybe I wasn't saved and I entered into it where it is preached well. And at first it was like, oh my goodness. And then eventually it wasn't so much, oh my goodness. And eventually it was, oh, I'm going to church. And almost like the expectation, and there's nothing wrong with the expectation, but the expectation is it's going to be rich. But if that expectation gets mixed with feelings and an expectation of an emotion to it, where I become conscious of self rather than conscious of God, that this is God, this is His Word, this is His church, this is His doing. If that is no longer my consciousness, but my consciousness is one of self, and will it stimulate me? Then I'm sorry, I'm familiar. And even by the very notion of being excited or not excited about the Word is a setup for familiarity. This is a table, I'm neither excited nor not excited about it. It's a table. I like the table, it's a good table, it works very nice, it works good, it holds things, it's got pretty colors, it's a good table. Am I excited about the table? Let's get excited about the table. Like, you ever hear people do this? And I'm not saying they're wrong necessarily for doing this, but sometimes it's almost like something becomes a cheerleader for the Word. Yeah, let's get psyched up and excited about the Word. You know what they're saying? Let's work it up in our emotions regarding the Word. They don't mean to do this, and their hearts aren't wrong in doing it, but they're actually bringing me to iniquity. Where I'm conscious of my own feelings towards something, and it's setting me up for familiarity. Because once that excitement is gone, once the rah-rah subsides, I'm not as excited as I used to be. And because I've been relying on emotional responses and excitement to keep me sustained, I no longer have anything to sustain me once the excitement is gone. I'll never forget the first time I heard Pastor Stevens preach. It was like the man opened his mouth and a river came out. And not a dinky stream either. A massive river of anointing in the Word of God came out. And my jaw dropped to the floor. I thought I was going to lick the carpet. I was amazed. It was striking. It was startling. All you could do is sit back and like, oh my God. This is unreal. After a few years of that, my jaw came back up. And it wasn't, oh my God. It was, I'm going to go get built up in the Word of God. And very frequently I thought to myself when I heard Pastor Stevens speak, it was rich. I never thought it could get any richer, but listen to this guy talk. And it became even richer. had nothing to do with my feelings. But I appreciated, in a godly sense, the anointing and the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring forth the Word of God. And I wasn't expecting to be excited when I went to church. I was expecting to be nourished. If I had depended on excitement to sustain me, that, you know, like the oh my God, the awe of the first time I heard him preach, well, that awe went away. Doesn't mean I lost respect, but the emotional intensity of the initial impact went away. And then it was replaced with substance. But if a believer is told, or a believer tries, whether they're told or not, and sometimes believers do this on their own, to be excited about the Word of God, to be emotional about the Word of God, then they've set themselves up to be familiar. Because once that excitement goes, it's just not that special anymore. Because it was based on an emotion, on a maintenance of an emotional state. Well, I'm sorry, nobody's going to maintain an emotional state. Your brain doesn't function that way. There's something called habituation that dampens those impulses. It's, you know what it's like? In a way, it's like getting married. You first get married, and it's very exciting, and there's butterflies. And it's, you know, there's like, oh, excitement. And then you're married, and it's, you know, you have your, and you get to know each other a little bit, and it's sometimes you have to adjust to getting to know each other a little bit. Sometimes it's like, oh. And sometimes, oh. How many ways can you say, oh? But it's kind of like that in some ways. I mean, and then what you are left with is not an emotional response or an emotional expectation, but substance. This is why no-touch love is such a crucial thing to practice prior to marriage. Because you don't want to base it on an emotional expectation. You want to base it on an expectation from God. But then, the emotional, the butterflies, the excitement, the novelty wears off. It better wear off. Because the novelty and the excitement is not anything of depth or substance. And then you are left with what's real. And if your marriage or if your relationship is based on the proper foundation, then what's real is also very powerful. And it sustains you. Then there's a genuine Holy Spirit love present. A genuine Holy Spirit conviction present. A genuine Holy Spirit empowerment present. Quickening present. Because it was established on something that was real. Not something that was imaginary or an illusion. Familiarity is when I establish something on an illusion. Because there's a consciousness of self and an expectation in my emotions. However, if I'm God conscious and my expectation is from God, and I am expecting of Him, then familiarity will not come in. Why? Because how can God get familiar with God? Back to my spirit fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, what I receive from the Holy Spirit, I reflect back to Him. How can God be familiar with God? It's very simple. Consciousness of self is what leads me into all aspects of iniquity. because that is the foundation of it. Consciousness of God is what leads me into all aspects of righteousness, because that is the foundation of it.